was your sense of initiative?
I was reminded about the medals and the badges and stuff that you're getting this week. And the highest military award in the United States, does anybody know what that award is?
The Medal of Honor.
Right. The Medal of Honor is authorized for a military service member who distinguishes himself conspicuously by gallantry and intrepidity, that's courage, at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty. And I love that phrase, above and beyond the call of duty. Because there's an honor in doing your duty, right? What you are told to do, what you're expected to do, that's your responsibility, that's your duty. It's right to do that. And there's honor in doing your duty. But then there's a level of honor that's even higher when somebody by their own initiative goes beyond, goes above the call of duty. And I think these mighty men of David are excellent examples of manly initiative, because that's what they did. They didn't just do what they were forced or ordered to do. They did what they saw the need was. There were a lot of men that followed David, hundreds of men. And the kind of the elite guard, you know, of the mighty men were known as the 30. These are his personal guard, the 30. It'd be awesome to be a part of them. But then, among the 30 was the three. There's just a group of three. And it was these guys that we just read about here, and some of the legendary deeds that they performed as the three. And so they had this special character trait that is lacking among men today of initiative. Now, somebody tell me, just in your own words, I know that we'll get more into it, but what, in your words, is initiative? Somebody give me a thought. Doing something without being told to do it. That's a good one. Somebody else? Yeah. I couldn't hear you, sorry. The courage, what was the word?
The drive to do what needs to be done.
So yeah, the drive to do what is. So I'm going to give you five elements of initiative here. So I want you to write these down if you got your notepad and your pen. The first step of initiative that you need to have is to learn to open your eyes. You have to become observant and aware of what is around you. My dad used to do this exercise with myself and my younger brother. We grew up on a farm, kind of a hobby farm, and many times he would bring us to an area where he knew something needed to be done, but he didn't tell us what needed to be done. He said, "Open up your eyes and tell me what you see." And we would have to just list. We would just have to observe our surroundings and be alert to some of the things that were around us. So, open up your eyes. What if you were to do that right now? Right now, out here on the porch, what do you see? Somebody tell me what you see when you open your eyes. Anybody? Yeah. There's some cobwebs, yeah. And that's okay, it's outside, right? That they're in their natural environment. But that's something worth noticing, that there are cobwebs.
Right. What else? There's a couple of light bulbs that are out.
Yep. And maybe until I challenge you to open your eyes, you didn't even realize that there were light bulbs out, right? What else did you see?
Yeah. Yeah, the screen is dusty and stuff. Is that what you said? Yeah. What else? That's what you said. What else about that screen?
It's ripped, right? Yeah. So the screen is to keep what out?
Bugs. Is that one being very effective?
No. It's ripped. So. And my point here is not to sit here and pick and criticize and stuff. And that's what that can become if you don't allow this to develop into a real initiative. But it has to start with that, to open up your eyes to what is around you. And I think as spiritual men, there's another layer to this. It's not just about the tasks or the jobs that are around you. It's also opening up your eyes to the people around you. To the people. Because sometimes we get so self-absorbed in ourselves and in our own world, other people are just like
characters in a video game. You know, they're not even real entities.
And so you pay attention to people. What's with the guy that's sitting all by himself at lunch? Why is he alone? What is with the one that's looking just like really downcast? And do you even notice that? Or is life just revolving around you, right? Do you see people? Do you see them in their need? Do you see what could be a need to fill? Open up your eyes. Don't be oblivious.
Did you know most people are pretty oblivious? Did you know that? Are you oblivious?
What?
Don't be that.
Notice. Open your eyes. And so do that in different environments. Even today, just practice this. Wherever you come to a new setting, a new situation, open your eyes, notice the environment around you, the things that maybe need to change, but also notice the people around you. All right? Those represent the need as well. So that's number one. Number two, learn to recognize problems. We kind of did that exercise a little bit with the opening of the eyes, but look at verse 9 again. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. So what was the problem here? What was the problem that Eleazar noticed? Anybody?
They gave up.
Okay, there's a problem with the Israelites, right? That's a problem. The Israelites are supposed to be defending their territory, and I mean their promised land, and they're away. They've all left. They're not going to the battle. So that's a problem. What other problem is there? Philistines, yeah, Philistines are a problem in the land. And so Eleazar sees the problem. So here's another way to do it. What is not as it should be? All right? What is not as it should be? That's a way to think about observation with initiative. As you look around and you say, here's how things should be, and here's how they are, and it's not as it should be, right? It should not be that the Philistines are oppressing the people of God in their own land. That should not be. It should not be that God's people who have God's power are fleeing from their enemies when God has given them everything they need for victory. That's not as it should be. It requires a sense of justice, doesn't it? Of right and wrong. To be able to look at something and say, that's not right. Do you have that? Do you notice when things are not as they should be? Is that in you? Is that a discipline that you have cultivated? I think about David when he showed up to the battle. And remember the Philistines were all, can you guys stop rocking? It's distracting me. Thank you. Remember he showed up to the Philistines and everybody's in their tents and they're hiding. And the giant out there is defying the nation of Israel. And what did he say? Is there not a cause? He had a very strong sense of right and wrong. And he looked at the situation and said, this is not as it should be. In a practical sense, so spiritually, you need a sense of justice and right and wrong. But in a practical sense, just as guys in our environment, you need to know the value of order over disorder. Do you even notice it? Do you know that there's a certain way that things should be? If I were to go into your bedroom, is there a sense of order there? Is everything where it should be? How many of you made your bed bunk this morning? Good, because it was your duty, right? How many of you made your bed before you left for camp? Oh, not as many. All right, but a few. Good, good. And maybe it's also your duty and it's enforced at home. But hopefully you're learning that there is a value to having things in order.
You know what, this week, I don't have cabin inspections.
I don't think so, anyway. Maybe I'll get dinged later on.
I don't have cabin inspections, but guess what I did this morning? I made my bed.
You know why? Because that's the way it should be.
There's a sense of order.
Well, we're just going to mess it up again anyway. Hey, that's life.
Life is routine of creating order, and then order comes to disorder.
That's entropy, right?
And then we, as men of initiative, restore order. Value that. God is a God of order.
He is. You just look around us at creation.
There is an orderliness to all of this.
Good, brother.
So recognize problems. Also, it goes beyond that. That's duty, I would say. But let's go beyond that. And number three, learn to recognize opportunities. Learn to recognize opportunities. The question here is not how should it be.
Here's the question. How could it be?
How could it be?
So maybe there's not a real problem that needs to be fixed. Maybe it's just a matter of this could be improved.
This could be developed. This could become something more. And you know what that requires? It's not just a sense of observation. It requires a sense of creativity and an openness to different ideas and imagination.
Do you have that? Do you have an imagination not only of what things should be, but how things could be?
God is a God of initiative. And He is the master creator, right? He is the creator of all things. And He had, I don't know, somehow this vision, this wisdom of not only the way things should be, but the way things could be. And He made it that way. And He made us in His likeness in that. He wants us to be creators.
Amen.
Like He is. To see opportunity, seize that opportunity, and to make something of it.
He put Adam in the garden, the first man, right?
And He wanted that man to be a man of initiative. He told him to dress it and to keep it, right? So there was this responsibility that he had. Now, when Adam was placed into the Garden of Eden,
what do you think the environment looked like there? I mean, obviously it was perfect and stuff, but
what would his surroundings have been? Trees, okay, what else?
Flowers, plants, vegetation, natural stuff. Was there a house waiting for him? Were there any paths to the fruit trees? No. And so he came into a raw, it was a paradise, but still it was an untamed paradise. And he was expected to go in there and develop a vision, not only of what should be, but what could be.
Amen.
And to make something of this world.
You don't have a Garden of Eden, but you've got a field that God has given to you, a field of responsibility, where that you should be not only implementing order to it and making it as it should be, but developing a vision through creativity of what it could be.
That's good.
Take your life.
Take your bedroom, if that's all it is. Take your job when you get one.
And don't just do your duty. Go above and beyond the sense of duty to find something that could be done. Now, as you open your eyes, we talked about some of the potential problems that could be fixed.
Open up your eyes again here as we sit and tell me something that could be. Yeah.
Comfortable benches.
Comfortable benches. All right. Yeah.
Honestly, the sky is kind of the limit with this stuff. But yeah, could be.
What else?
Cooler air, all right? If we can find how to dominate nature itself and create cooler, yeah, let's do that. What else?
Screened-in porch.
Ooh, a screened-in porch.
So these wouldn't have to be screened so nicely if you could screen in the whole porch. That's a possibility. What else?
To put what out?
Oh, there's books. That brings the idea of plants, some decor up in here. Yeah, I like it. Now, sometimes ladies tend to be better with this idea of creativity and stuff like that, but it's not a feminine quality.
That's right.
It's a manly quality.
Amen.
To be able to look at something and recognize how it could be better. That's important. Did somebody have something else? I thought I saw it. Okay. Yeah.
A fan.
There's one right here. You just chose poorly where to sit. More fan. There you go. So, you know what somebody did here is, I think Brother Brian took the fan that was blowing in and he turned it around and blew it out. I'm telling you. Genius, right? It's initiative right there, my friends. And this whole campground is really a testament to initiative. If you open up your eyes and look at it,
it's true.
The camp director, Brother Isaac, I mean, he's a man of initiative.
Yeah.
He not only sees what needs to be fixed and fixes it, he sees what could be and develops it. Somebody had to develop all this. Somebody had to take it out of just woods and make it into a campground. And nobody made them do it. They just saw an opportunity and they took it. So learn to recognize opportunities. And where we find this is in verse 14 and 15. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Now, David grew up in Bethlehem. He grew up drinking that water out of that well. But now it was in enemy hands. The Philistines had a garrison in Bethlehem. And he's just chewing the fat with the guys. He's in the hold. He's in the fortress. And they're just talking. And you can imagine him saying, "Guys, you have never tasted water like the water of the well at Bethlehem. I'm telling you, it is the best. It's just sweet. It quenches your thirst. Oh, man, if I could just have a sip from that well, that'd be incredible." He wasn't hinting at anything. He wasn't expecting anyone to go get him a drink. But there were three guys, the three. And they took a hold of that opportunity. Nobody ordered them to do this, but they loved David. And they saw an opportunity to be a blessing to him, and they risked their lives to break into the garrison, killed, no doubt, a whole bunch of Philistines. Why? To fill up a canteen with water. They weren't out of water at the cave of Adullam. Nobody was dying of thirst. There was no need for this, but there was an opportunity to be a blessing.
Right.
And they saw that opportunity and they took it into their own hands and they did it because they were mighty men of initiative. Number four, take ownership of the problem or opportunity. Once you see it, once you see a problem, or once you see an opportunity, my pastor had a saying, job seen, job assigned.
Yep.
If God has brought that to your attention, it could very well be because He is calling you to do something about it. Take ownership of it. Don't look around, and this is where it goes. It's so important to not just develop a critical mindset where you're going around pointing out problems and not doing anything about them. There are some problems you can just go and fix, and you don't have to involve anybody else in the process. You don't even have to tell anyone you did it so you get the big pat on the back. There are some simple problems you can just go do something and fix it. There are other times where, yeah, there's a chain of command, there's authorities that need to be brought into it, but I want to encourage you guys to develop a mindset that you don't just bring an authority a problem without being willing to be part of the solution.
Okay.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Don't just bring a problem. Bring a problem with a willingness to help fix the problem. Pastor, I notice there's some, the paint is chipping over here in the youth room or whatever. Would it be okay if I got some paint and I read it? Now, probably don't do that without asking, you know, don't go, because maybe you had in mind you had graffiti spray paint, like I can fix this. Maybe your authority has a different idea of how to fix it, but you be willing to at least contribute to the process. Take ownership of it. Don't wait for someone else to do something. I stopped in the men's room over here before I came out, and I noticed that well, the dispensers are empty and they're locked of the paper towels, right? And somebody was saying, oh, we don't have a key to get in there. I get that. But so there's a roll, and the roll is being torn off. And as you're tearing off the rolls, all these little strips of paper towel are falling to the floor. And there's probably 25 little pieces of paper towel strewn all over the floor. And so, guys, many, many, many of us tore off a paper towel. Hey, I'm glad you washed your hands. Bravo, guys. Good job. But how many walked right past the problem thinking, well, somebody else will clean that up? Or worse yet, you didn't even notice the problem. You didn't even see the garbage on the floor. And so because you didn't see it, you didn't have opportunity to take initiative to do something about it. Don't ever, 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 just put this into your character. Don't ever walk over a piece of trash.
Amen.
Make that a part of who you are. If you see garbage on the ground, you're the guy to pick it up. You just be that guy. And you don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to make a big deal about it. Like, oh, who's making all this mess? Just pick it up and take care of it. Just be that guy. And that's a metaphor for the rest of life, isn't it? As you're just going down your path, be aware of what's around you. See the needs, see the opportunities, and be the guy.
Good.
Be the guy to take ownership of the situation. You must assume that if you don't do it, it will not get done. The world is operating on a whole opposite level in these days. There's always the assumption, that's not my job. Somebody else will have to do it. No, you be the guys that know, if I don't do it, it's very likely that nobody else will. That means it's my responsibility. You take ownership. Number five, do something about it. Do something about it. I know these overlap a little bit, and maybe that's implied within taking ownership, but you actually need to do something about it. Look at verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. You know what lentils are?
Beans.
Basically beans. Not a lot. This wasn't the treasury that he was defending. This wasn't, you know, the bank where all the gold was stored. It was a field where there were some beans. And the people, the other people fled, and they're like, hey, it's just beans. Let the Philistines take it. But he, verse 12, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. It's not enough just to see the need. It's not even enough just to know what needs to be done about it. Guess what has to happen? Somebody's got to do something.
That's right.
You've got to step up and actually do it. That's initiative. You initiate action. Being a man of initiative. Be a doer. I love in the book of Genesis where it talks about Joseph. And you remember when Joseph was sold as a slave? And then he was falsely accused and he was put into prison. And yet he continues to serve there in the prison, and he's given opportunities. And it says, whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. I love that.
Yep.
Whatever was being done, Joseph was in the middle of it as a doer of whatever it was. That should be you too. Are you? Is that how you are at home? If there's something being done, are you the one that's retreating to your room or finding an excuse why you don't have to help? Or are you the doer of it? When something's being done at church, there's a work day, there's a fundraiser, there's something that's happening there. Are you the guy? Oh, I got stuff to do. I got homework. I got this. I got that. Or are you right in the middle, known as the one who's the doer of it? Be the doer.
That's good,
brother. Be the man of action.
Amen.
The man of initiative. Because look at the end of verse 17. The end of verse 17. These things did these three mighty men. Would you read those words with me? These things did these three mighty men. They were not mighty men who just happened to do some mighty deeds. They were mighty men because they did mighty deeds. If these guys had not stepped up and performed these acts, you'd have never heard of them. They were defined by what they actually did. We don't know a lot about their beliefs. We can sense some of their passion. But you don't know a lot of their philosophy of life or anything else. You know what we know about them? What they did. The actions that they actually took. Because being a mighty man, it's not about having a special title. Like, oh yeah, I'm a mighty man because I am one of the three. You know, I'm in David's inner circle. I'm among the 30. No, it's not about that. It's not about, oh, they're, you know, just being given respect or being the strongest or accumulating the most. No, mighty men are not content to stop with just great words or thoughts. What makes them mighty are the courageous acts of initiative they do.
Amen.
Okay. Be the doers. Frederick Robertson was a preacher in the early 1800s. And he said this. Would you listen to it? I know it's warm and it's hard to listen to long quotes, but I got one for you. He said, Christian life is action. Not a speculating, not a debating, but a doing. One thing and only one in this world has eternity stamped upon it. Feelings pass. Resolves and thoughts pass. Opinions change. But what you have done lasts. It lasts in you and through the ages, through eternity, what you have done for Christ, that and only that you are. Interesting. And I think he's right. You know, sometimes we guys, we get really proud of all the stuff we know. Right? You're nailing it at Bible trivia. Right? The Jeopardy stuff. You've got all this Bible knowledge in your head, and you've memorized all these verses, and that's all good stuff. But don't pride yourself so much on what you know. All right? Don't pride yourself just because of, you know, you're a good guy, or you're a nice guy, or people at church think you're a really, you know, sharp young man and all of that. What you know, what you're like, it means nothing until you actually step out and do something. You must be doers. Stephen Mansfield wrote a book on being manly men. It's a cool book, and he's got a cool name. If you're going to write a book on manly men, have a name like Mansfield. Yes. He said, it is true, of course, that manhood grows from certain beliefs, but our society has discussed values and beliefs unceasingly. We've been like the football team that sits in the locker room and talks about how badly they're going to decimate the other team, but never leaves the locker room to actually play the game. The locker room, it's a great place to hang out, talk smack, but that's not the game. That's not the field. This requires action. And he said, unfortunately, most of modern manhood is perpetually hanging out in the locker room, talking, ever talking. Ultimately, though, you only know who a man is and what he believes by what he does.
Right.
Not by what he sits around talking about, not by what he says he feels. It's only when he acts, when he does something, that we start to know what he is. Action is character. Manhood is action. These things did these three mighty men. We have too many passive guys. There are a lot of passive men. We need to be the opposite of that. If I were to give you a phrase and say, okay, a man of action, what's the opposite of that? A man of action. Anybody? What's the opposite of a man of action? Laziness or a man of inaction? Okay? That's one way to think about it, and that's true. One who does nothing. But that's not the only opposite. There's another one. Another opposite of a man of action is a man of reaction. It's not just guys that won't do anything, that are just sloths and sluggards. It's about guys that don't initiate and act with any kind of purpose in life. They're just kind of going along, reacting to whatever happens to them. They'll work, and some of them will work very, very hard, but they only do what they have to do. They only do what they're told to do. They do their duty, and like I said, there's an honor in that, but there's a greater honor than being a man of reaction. And that's being a man of initiative and action. Not to act out of necessity, but to act upon opportunity. And that's what these guys did. They took a risk because they weren't passive. They weren't going to sit there in inaction. And they weren't just reacting to the needs that came. They saw an opportunity, they took a step, and they did something about it above and beyond their duty. And so that's my challenge for you today. Don't just be guys who step up and do something when you're told to or when it's absolutely necessary and your back's against the wall and so fine, I'll do something. No, be a man of initiative. Be a man of boldness who's going to rise to meet the opportunities that God places before you. Now, think about your life here. Home, work, church, other scenarios. Somebody give me something you're thinking about right now that you know, that you've noticed. Either something that's not as it should be or something that's not as it could be. What's something that you've noticed that you think that you can go back and change and do something about? I want a little feedback here. Yeah. Trash can and guys back.
Sure. Yeah, that could be done immediately.
So we can think about stuff here today, or we can think about stuff at home as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Participation.
Yeah.
In what? Whatever's happening here, be involved in it. Don't just be all up on your own. Be involved in the games and stuff. Yeah.
That?
Yeah, mom's doing the dishes. Why not step up and do it? Oh, that's women's work. Forget about it.
Right.
You can help.
Amen.
You see a need. You see people that you could help. You could be a servant to. Go be a blessing.
Amen.
Sure, be a blessing to your mom. There's nobody more worthy. Yep.
Applying yourself and studying in school.
I like it.
Yep.
What else? Okay. Yeah, you see something that's wrong in your life, a sin or a habit or something that's wrong, quit waiting for something else to fix it. You fix it. That's initiative. What else? These are good thoughts. Yeah.
To make dinner?
That's awesome. That'd be great. As guys, you need to know how to make dinner, and you need to know how to operate a grill and cook meat, right? Your dinner might just be bacon-wrapped bacon, but that's a meal right there, you know? And put a little leaf on it and call it a salad.
Yeah?
Okay, personal devotions, yeah. Who's gonna give you structure or consistency in your devotions? Nobody can give you that. You got to see that need. And you have to step up and do something about it. And if it's not working, whatever you're doing right now, if it's not working, that's not how it should be and it's not how it could be. So work on it.
Yeah.
What else?
Good thoughts, guys.
Sorry. Yes, sir.
Call someone you haven't seen in a while.
Invest in a friend. Guys are terrible at this. We're good when we're together, you know? We're doing the same things or whatever, but out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
And so invest in people. Invest in your friends. Give them a call. Shoot them a text. Tell them you're praying for them. That's awesome. You see how the sky's the limit on this stuff? But this is what God made us to be. He made men not only to work, but to produce something for His glory. He wants us to be producers, creators, developers of everything. But the resources within us to steward those, as well as the environment around us, to bring it into order. He told Adam that this whole world and everything in it was under his dominion. That meant there was a responsibility there to steward that, to bring it into godly order. So to what extent you can do that, do that.
Got one more quote from it for you. Anybody else before I read my quote and we're done? Any other thoughts? Okay. It's a good one because it comes from Teddy Roosevelt. The U.S. has probably never produced a more manly president or statesman than President Theodore Roosevelt. When he was in Paris, France in April of 1910, he gave a famous speech called The Man in the Arena. Are you familiar with that speech? Oh, you needed to be. Here's the closing words of that speech. Listen carefully. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I like it. Be the man in the arena. Start today. Be the man of initiative that God made you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.